If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. This is our last show of the year, and we've got some really good information for you. A couple of tidbits that you probably haven't heard before. We're going to get y'all caught up on that. Big breaking story. On the local one of the local newspapers, and it revolves around the media. Some of you might have seen this website, ourtallahassee.com. And, you know, it's been this thing, it's been out for a number of months, and, you know, we've dealt with some of the stories that they've written, looked at them, did some research, and the group that's behind it has now sort of been outed in the media. And this is sort of what happens in these, when in the new media world, you know, media outlets pop up. Some are less conventional than others, and it takes them a while to get their footing. And then suddenly, you know, they push up against something, and then they get reported on. And that actually gives them credibility when they get reported on for a little while. And then when you start reading about maybe what they're about, then, you know, it raises some issues. But this group, ourtallahassee.com, has really been pushing, I would say, the progressive agenda, and this is what they admit to. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment in detail, exactly what it is and the issue. I think, you know, from a political standpoint, this is really going to have an impact here locally, because I think now, you know, as the progressive wing of Leon County and Tallahassee, which has, you know, been characterized mostly by Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter on the way they approach some issues, you know, this outlet has been reporting, I guess you would say, on the other side, if it's not progressive. You know, they've been going after Mayor John Daley on a number of issues. They went after the police chief Revel, had to change the title to one of their stories because it was a little misleading. But this is, I think this is going to really have an impact on what is going on locally. There's going to have to be some people that try to distance themselves from this. Others are going to have to own it. I mean, one of the people involved is actually dating a city commissioner, Jack Porter, who is, as I previously mentioned, you know, is on sort of the progressive wings of the progressive wing of what's going on in Leon County. Now, before you completely write this group off, you know, one of the things in the media that you've got to understand is a lot of this alternative media, depending on where you live and what you follow. You know, my view on this has always been, you've got to look at, don't shoot the messenger, look at the story. Because I've been through this a little bit with Tallahassee Reports, and there's a different angle on this, is you know, than what we had to go through. But the point is this, is if the story has merit, if it has documents, if it's true, then, you know, they're breaking news. But there is a thin line here to where if it becomes too overt politically, it almost is like a political action pack. So we'll talk about that in the next segment and get through some of the specifics there. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about FSU Blueprint again for a part of that segment. Got some more information. We have looked at this. I have looked at the specific minutes of the Blueprint meetings, trying to find out where everybody has voted on the funding of this soft economic development money in support of upgrading athletic facilities. And so, you know, look, there's those who have been consistent, those who have been inconsistent, and I think it's important to understand where the politicians stand. Now, it may take some time to get us exactly zeroed in on where everybody's position is, because there's so many different votes. But I think at the end of the day, there's two groups. You know, there's the groups that supported, you know, the renovations to these athletics facilities for FAMU, FSU, and TCC, and there are those that were adamantly against it. Now, there are a couple in between that I think have some extenuating circumstances on their votes, and we'll explain that. Hopefully, get through that in part of the segment, because I want to talk about another little tidbit of information that we're getting about the FAMU $10 million grant. And I think it impacts, really, unfortunately, sort of the credibility of the process here. But if you remember, a number of the commissioners who voted, and there's not that many, but the number of commissioners that voted for the FAMU upgrade and then voted against FSU, one of their arguments might, for reason of not voting for FSU and voting for FAMU, one of their arguments may have not been actually true. They may have been misled. So stay tuned, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. County Commissioner Christian Dozier looks like he is making more noise about running for mayor. As you know, Mayor John Daly is running for re-election. He's got one opponent that is not well-funded at all. And so, you know, Commissioner Dozier has let everybody know she's not running for re-election. She floated a trial balloon previously. I would say she, some people around her. And she actually went after Mayor John Daly, you know, saying that we need somebody else in that seat. And she was going to take some time and look at possibly running. You know, that's starting to get more traction again. And so I would expect a decision in January, if not, you know, at least by February, if not January, if she's going to run again. So we'll talk about that a little bit at the bottom of the hour. Also, you know, what that could mean, what her positions are. Listen, she presents a little bit of a, she's obviously a tough one to read. She's liberal on one side of this, very intellectual. She was very, she was consistent in the way she voted on the upgrades of the athletic facilities. And I think she presents a challenge to Mayor John Daly from the progressive side. But, you know, is she completely on that wing? We'll talk a little bit about that. I know some of the votes that I looked up, some of the votes that she's made. And, you know, again, it would be an interesting, obviously, would be a game changer for the mayoral race, because you would have two candidates with really high name ID running for an office. At a time when no Republicans will be involved in this race. So, again, the north side of Tallahassee would have huge impact on who actually wins. But they would have to really, from a principled standpoint, would have to hold their nose and decide which one, you know, they would want to support. So we'll get into that a little bit in the bottom of the hour. And in the last segment, look, there's been this, you know, there has been this media, and I guess some of the community, rally around the zip code 32304. The Tallahassee Democrat did a expose on 32304 and made some huge conclusions based on interviews with 12 people. And, you know, it's not that I don't think that there's some issues with 32304, but there's some things in there that were not addressed whatsoever. And I would go ahead and tell you that very misleading report that you've seen. And it's, you know, it was obviously on the front page of the Democrat. And it just, again, I think is trying to build a narrative that is not there. They don't want to address some issues. And never is anything black and white. And to say that poverty is driving crime because of the numbers in 32304 is just really misleading. And we're going to give you reasons why in the last segment. You know, very easy to look at, and then we can move on beyond that and look at some of the other issues that are facing not just 04, but other zip codes around there. Why the focus on 32304? It seems like a marketing technique. But anyway, we'll talk about that and get you caught up to date on some state news too in our last segment. So stay tuned. When we get back, we'll talk about OurTallahassee.com.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Look, I guess it was a matter of time. You know, one of the reasons there's so many media outlets now popping up is because, you know, social media has made it so easy to get your message out. And so, you know, what happens is, you know, you can sort of act like you're a media outlet, not have a lot of resources, but if you write a story and it's true and you got documents, you can, you know, you could get cited and you become a media outlet. The other side of that is politicians have learned very quickly that they can sort of act like a media outlet and promote their message and maybe help themselves or others get elected. Look, this is going on, you know, all over the country in some form or fashion. And so now, you know, one of the media outlets here in the state of Florida that I always talk about is FloridaPolitics.com, who has been, you know, basically are known to write stories and then get paid for writing those stories from people that it helps out. But what they've also done, and they call that pay to play, but what they've also done is FloridaPolitics.com is got a stable of writers that actually breaks news, and they get information out there that nobody else does. So they have morphed, their business model is to report on news and also to report things that people will pay them to report on. And so, look, the media landscape is changing. And, you know, here in Tallahassee, we started Tallahassee Reports about 10 years ago, actually 12 years ago, as a blog, and we have a printed newspaper. And, you know, our angle was about trying to hold local officials accountable. You know, it was not really a partisan thing because we had no Republicans in office here, very little. I think Brian DeLoge was the only Republican that was an elected official in the three local boards. And now he's gone, so it's nothing but Democrats. Ours was more about corruption and focusing on policy, with which you could argue with a conservative bent. Our perspective of what made news, you know, was how you spend money and why maybe spending it on social programs wasn't the best way to do it. So look, we took that label, but one of the things that we were very focused on was writing based on documents, public records, and obviously it was dominated by the corruption that was taking place early on from, you know, the 2010 to 2015. And we've grown as an outlet, and, you know, we cover, I think, local meetings now like no other outlet in Leon County, the school board, the city, and Leon County government. But what has also happened here locally is another group, OurTallahassee.com, started publishing stories. And, you know, the difference, I think, between them and other media outlets is that they have become more partisan in the sense that they are taking specific issues that are well represented on the city commission, and then they are writing against those. And so they've been doing it for a few months. And, you know, one of the things that media outlets don't like to do is give their competition coverage because it tends to lend them credibility. But I got to tell you that the OurTallahassee.com crew, you know, we've been doing some research on some of the stories they've been writing, and they came out with a story with regards to Police Chief Revel. And they did have a breaking news because they had a video of Revel at a conference, a religious conference. But what they did is they took it too far, and they actually had to change the title. And what happened with that is that the people that are supporting them started to pick up on this Revel story. Jack Porter, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, Commissioner Jack Porter also. And so you could start seeing that, you know, there were certain politicians that were sort of mimicking the stories they were covering. Well, so the Tallahassee Democrat has finally decided to sort of out OurTallahassee.com. And the story, I think, is worth talking about. The three gentlemen that they have sort of outed as being, you know, the supporters or the operators of this website are Max Harrell and Jeff Vandermeer and Bob Lotain. Now, I know two of the three. Bob Lotain ran for office against Diane Williams Cox and was soundly beaten. And that's not a negative thing. I was soundly beaten a couple times too. But Max Harrell was a former lobbyist, but he has gotten into this OurTallahassee.com trying to provide more information to people in Leon County. Jeff Vandermeer, I don't know a lot about. I know that he's blocked Tallahassee Reports on his Twitter account. I'm going to look more into him. But the gist of this is as follows. Max Harrell, who was a former lobbyist, is the boyfriend and significant other to Commissioner Jack Porter. So that adds a little bit of an element to this whole, you know, media outlet type of approach. The second thing is, obviously, is that they are promoting a progressive agenda. And again, that's fine. I think that, you know, these different media outlets have different approaches to things. But when you're so close to elected officials, that does become a problem. Max Harrell was also helped out on some of the campaigns here. I think a lot of it behind the scenes, Brian Welch, I think obviously Commissioner Jack Porter and then Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. So now you have them sort of morphing into this media outlet. And if you go look at their website, again, very progressive in what they're covering. Now, so where does that leave us? Well, I think that where that leaves us is this, is that you've got this progressive wing now, which has got sort of this pack, because people have put a lot of money in this. I think that from what I understand, Mr. Vandermeer and Mr. Lotain have put in, I would say, five figures into making this work. And they've calling themselves a media outlet. Now, two things you know is that one of the contributors, one of the people that makes it work, is in a relationship with the city commissioner. And the second thing is they have a progressive bent. And so they, if you go look at some of their articles, they've gone after Mayor John Daley, I would say relentlessly. And so that sort of fits with what Commissioner Porter and Commissioner Matlow have been doing. Now, so this, now that they're sort of in the media ecosystem, people can make their own decisions about their credibility. And Tallahassee Reports fought this for a number of years. And I think we reached a level because of our reporting and our credibility, the documents behind our reporting. I think we made a couple of big leaps. We've been cited by, newspapers across the state, even across the country, and here locally. So it takes time to build up credibility. The issue here is if we would have started Tallahassee Reports and, you know, my significant other was sitting on the city commission, that's not really how you want to start. Because I think that gives you right off the bat, people start questioning what you're doing and why you're doing it. So that I am going to say is a real negative for this group right now. Now, as I've said before, if you break a story that has a document and it's factually correct and it results in other media outlets jumping on that story and moving forward, that's how you create credibility. But how your credibility takes a hit is when you are blatant in what you're promoting. You've got select politicians that you go after and you have certain relationships. So those are things that are sometimes tough to overcome. Now, if you set the media outlet on one side and you go to the other side and you look at the city commissioners, I think this is a huge issue for Commissioner Jack Porter and Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. They have made a political firestorm over asking the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce to denounce specific members, to separate themselves from certain actions. And, you know, now I think it's pretty clear that both Mr. Matlow and Ms. Porter are going to have to come out and separate themselves from this media outlet that seems to be pushing their agenda. Now, look, you say, well, you know, Tallahassee Reports pushes its agenda. Well, I will challenge anyone who says that to go and listen to this radio show and then look what we report and argue that we're pushing an agenda. I have been as tough on Commissioner Matlow as I have been on Mayor Daley. So I think this is going to be, it's going to enter the political realm. I think that, you know, when you see all these people on the progressive side asking people to distance themselves, now I think they're going to get a little bit of this thrown back at them. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to continue talking about this just for a minute before we get into the, and there'll be a good segue into the blueprint vote and giving you some more information on that. But stay tuned for our continuing discussion about the entrance of another media outlet with ties to the city commission. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. So, our Tallahassee, two things here. First of all, their credibility will determine how they're taken. I would say that they are off to a tough start when you've got one of the main operators is dating a city commissioner. And then the other part would be their progressive bent on things. But, again, they will stand, their success or their legitimacy will stand on their credibility. I know that from past experience and dealing with this. And I would say they are off to a rough start from that angle. Now, from the political angle, when you talk about Commissioner Jack Porter and Commissioner Matlow, I think this presents a political minefield for them because what they have done is they have been talking about how people that want things from city commission, quote, the insiders, are using all these tactics of, you know, of running, you know, starting shady PACs to run campaign commercials, you know, they're because of insider relationships. And now if you pivot this, it looks like they're doing exactly the same thing with sort of providing cover for this group that is starting to promote their progressives, their issues. And if you go back and look, you can see how they have gone after Mayor John Daly on a number of issues. And actually, one of the bigger topics that they covered was related to Jack Porter and her treatment by Mayor Daly and at one of the meetings. And so that was covered, you know, in a very, I think there was a couple articles on our Tallahassee about that. Well, there's no disclosure on there that, you know, one of the persons involved with that organization was dating Jack Porter. And so now I think, you know, look, I give out free political advice. And everybody knows my political record, so you can take it or not. But, you know, David Bellamy needs to be asking Jeremy Matlow to distance himself from this group that seems to be trying to avoid, you know, some of the campaign election rules and still supporting candidates or going after candidates. Now, look, it's the Wild Wild West, and that's fine if it's legal. But now that provides people that are getting into the race to say, look, where are you on this? Are you helping them out? Have you donated money to the cause? Has the people that are running our Tallahassee donated money to city commissioners, county commissioners? I mean, these are all questions now that are going to, you know, that are now going to be for the forefront. And having said that, you've got an election coming up, you know, this year. And so it will be now, you know, you're going to know what the progressive bent of this quote media outlet is. So what kind of stories are they going to be writing now? And so anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch. I love it. I think it's going to create more chaos. It's going to provide, it's going to result in more questions and then they've got to answer them. And it's going to be interesting to see where that comes from. But, look, there's no doubt that this is, you know, this has been going on for a few months, and now that they're sort of, quote, outed, it'll be interesting to see if it changes their behavior, if it changes the people's perspective of what's going on from a progressive standpoint. You know, this talk about we're just for the grassroots people, well, now you've got somebody that's put up, you know, in approximately five figures to promote this website that is going after Mayor John Daly and some of the other Democrats on the city commission, moderate Democrats, I would say, because they have a more progressive view of things. So is that really a media outlet or is that a political action committee? I think that's going to be the question. It'll be interesting. We'll see how it unfolds in January. Now, pivoting real quick, I want to touch on some of the feedback from an article that we wrote about the blueprint vote on funding upgrades for athletic stadiums. Now, you know, my position on this has been very clear from the beginning. From an opinion standpoint, I would have never voted to give any of the money to any of the athletic endeavors. I would never voted to even have the soft economic development money, okay? Now, does that mean we would not have helped out FAMU or FSU or TCC? No, you can figure ways to do it, but not through blueprint, given where we wanted to do with that money. Having said that, what we've looked at is the consistency of people voting for these projects. And So what we found and what we concluded was that Rick Minor and Commissioner Jeremy Matlow and Commissioner Jack Porter were the only three that supported FAMU and TCC and then voted against FSU. Now, to me, that's a problem, because what you have is, you know, that again, when you start looking at consistency, if you go ahead and cross the bridge that you're going to vote for these athletic endeavors, updating these stadiums, and then you say, okay, we're going to help everybody out in the community, well, then, you know, that's one thing. And what's happening now is this progressive wing of Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter are trying to make this look like this is just completely an insider fix to giving money to FSU. So now I will tell you that Christian Dozier was very consistent in her votes. She voted against the FAMU money and she voted against the FSU money. So if you're looking for consistency there, Dozier would be your candidate. Brian Welch is a little more complicated. He was not on the commission Porter was not on the commission either during the FAMU standalone vote, but they were both on the commission when they voted for the bond issuance. Now, Welch did vote for the bond issuance for FAMU, but voted against FSU. But I give him a little bit of a break because he voted for a motion to give $15 million to FSU. So he was more concerned about having enough money in left over, $5 million, to go to other economic development projects. It wasn't like he had chosen to be against the project totally. I think that's different than what Commissioner Porter and Commissioner Matlow have clearly said in their debates. They're against FSU because of the amount of money they have getting this money. And that's fine, but that is their position. And I think it's different than other elected officials. And I also think that it is inconsistent because they voted for the $10 million to FAMU. Now, this is where you're going to get a little bit of new news here. And we've got a, in regards to the FAMU project, if you remember, a lot of the response to them supporting the FAMU $10 million was that they had to have that money or they weren't going to have a football season. And now what we are hearing from a number of different sources is that they have, that FAMU already had a football season and they haven't spent, I would say, over $7 million of the $10 million that they were allocated. So in other words, they didn't need $10 million to get through this, the football season. They only needed $3 million. So are we going to go back and get that $7 million? Now, look, we're trying to verify the exact numbers. I'm pretty confident in the sources that I have that that is the case, that they didn't need $10 million to get through, to get to have a football season. But that was the rationale that was used. So, look, I think the point here is that there's a lot of backpedaling, a lot of when you start trying to make a political issue out of something this complicated, and that's what a number of people are trying to do, this is where you get caught with inconsistencies. And so we'll get the numbers and verify that. But I think that it's important to understand that there's a different kind of standard. And I think the standard is this, is that people with something, with money, I don't know where the line is, but I think that it's could be Northeast Tallahassee, I think they're being viewed differently than people that, quote, don't have anything. In other words, you can't allocate money. You can't build a Northeast Gateway. You can't get help for a stadium upgrade, even though we're giving out stadium upgrade money, because you're a little wealthier than everybody else. And so that kind of thinking will divide a community quicker than anything. Maybe even quicker than the Democrats and Republicans. But I think that's sort of where we're headed. And now when you talk about this new media outlet that is pushing this progressive positions, and now they're actually going after certain political candidates with ties to the city commission, I think that you're really pouring gasoline on this. And it's going to be interesting to see who distances themselves from this. I don't know how Commissioner Porter does that. I mean, if you're in a relationship with somebody who is really operating there, this is thehourtallahassee.com. I think that's going to be difficult no matter what stories you break. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. The last thing I wanted to comment on before we got out on this segment is the possible candidacy of Christian Dozier running for mayor of Tallahassee. I think you've already, you know that she's not happy with Mayor John Daley. She said that in her own words. She said it on here the Greg Tisch show. So that's there. The question now is, what happens if she runs? Well, look, I think she's also made some public comments that sort of distance herself from this progressive wing. I think she talked about how Commissioner Matlow, has come out against Blueprint, called it a sham at one point, but that she's very invested in part of Blueprint and how the infrastructure has been developed. But she's got some votes that are troubling. I mean, I believe she voted against, troubling from an economic growth standpoint. She voted against the Northeast Gateway. She's obviously voted against the athletic upgrades at the stadiums, which were made by the Blueprint in terms of, economic development. But she also has a stellar record with looking at fostering entrepreneurship, working with the Mag Lab and the Innovation Park. So there are a lot of pluses on her side of the ledger with the economic growth, too. It will be a race that will have to be nuanced in terms of her separating herself from the progressive wing on a lot of these issues. So I'll be a lot to talk about if she does eventually get in as mayor. So we'll see. All right, when we get back, we'll touch on some state issues, and we'll talk about zip code 32304. So stay tuned.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. The last show of the year. Looking forward to 2022. Touch on a couple of state issues before we get into 32304. Stephanie Murphy, and many people may not know her name. She's a Florida congresswoman in Central Florida, considered by some to be a moderate, and she has decided not to run for re-election. She is in a district that is pretty split from an ideological perspective. And so during the redistricting, there was thought that it could be made just a little bit more Republican and she would have some problems getting re-elected. But she's stepping down, and obviously I think there's 22 now Democratic congressmen that are not running for re-election, opposed to I think 10 or 11 Republicans. Look, from a Republican perspective, she's stepping down because she's scared. From what she says, she's 46. She's been a representative for I think 3 terms, and she's got a family, wants to stay closer to home. But anyway, I think the reason I bring this up is because this could be a pivotal seat in Florida in the to keep an eye on during redistricting. Another state level issue wanted to touch on was, and I promised Maddie Rowe wouldn't talk about COVID, but I'm going to have to just a little bit. The new variant that has hit the United States, the early, I guess, feedback is that it can be transmitted a lot easier than the other variant, the Delta variant, and hospitalizations are not going to happen because it's very mild. That's what the early talk is. Governor DeSantis is out front with this, saying that, look, we're not going to lock down Florida over this. We've got treatments that we can use. From my perspective, is being very rational about it. When you read the headline in Boston where you can't go to a restaurant, a gym, or any kind of event without a vaccination, proof of vaccination, it's a lot different here in Florida. And so he has gotten in front of this and is actually talking, in terms of speaking about no lockdowns and, we're not going to, we're going to still fight the vaccine mandates, but he's also talking about medical options here to treat those that get it. Anyway, I think that's also worth noting. And the last thing I want to cover from a statewide standpoint is Nikki Fried is continuing to outdo herself. And, if you remember, we at Florida Capital Star wrote a story about the DOE website with these far left wing links on the bullying page related to gender issues. And so they took them down. They reviewed the website, and then they've put information back up on bullying, but they've done away with the left-wing links to groups like that are supported by very progressive political groups that think that parents don't have the rights to know what their teenage or their middle school students or middle school kids are doing in relation to gender. And so anyway, they basically cleaned up the website. Well, along come Nikki Fried, who is looking for any vote that she can get. And now she has put those links up on her Florida Agriculture Commissioner website. And which is, again, is just unbelievable. But obviously it's more like she's becoming sort of like a cartoon creature or more like a carnival barker. And so now you can go there and you can link to all these left-wing groups that are promoting, the kids at the ages of 12 or 13 have a right to privacy. I don't know what her position is on puberty blockers. And so anyway, that's what our agricultural commissioner is up to. Wanted to be sure that you were up to speed on that. Now, pivoting back locally here in our remaining 3 or 4 minutes, 32304, we're going to continue to cover this zip code. There is, it has been adopted as like 32304 is like got the highest poverty rate in the state of Florida. Florida Chamber of Commerce came out with this. And so now it's become a rallying point for all things poverty related. And now we've got reports that poverty causes violence. Listen, I'm a numbers person. I'm an engineer. Causation is a very difficult thing to prove. Very seldom are things that black and white. So what caused poverty? If poverty causes violence, then what caused poverty? Well, in a lot of what we're getting here is this is advancing a cause so that we can throw more money on it. But specifically, 32304 is home to almost 40,000 college students. You don't hear that when you hear these narratives about, oh my gosh, we've got to help out 32304. Well, look, I've been looking at some numbers and we're going to cover this and we're going to write some stories, but this is completely misleading. It is malpractice for some of the things that have been written about 32304 to be written without the qualifiers that these numbers include 30,000 college students that don't have jobs, don't have income, which obviously impact the poverty rate. Now, I'll give you one example. When you look at these zip codes, they have the number of households that are married. Okay? 32309, 32312, or like it's 70%. 32305, 32310, 32301 are like it 33%. 32304 is 9%. Wouldn't that put up a red flag that, look, there's something going on in this zip code that maybe we shouldn't be extrapolating the numbers we find in this zip code as a causal factor for anything until we go ahead and try to figure out what's going on? Well, the 9% is because there's 30,000 college students there. So now, if you take those college students out, what happens to the poverty rate? Does it go up? Well, I don't think anybody's done this. Well, wait a minute. Why is it more violent where you have 30,000 college students? Well, that might be an issue. And so, again, I'm not saying we don't have issues in certain parts of town and even certain neighborhoods in 32304. But to start using 32304 as a flag that we're going to put on a hill and that is our problem here in Tallahassee is completely wrong. And look, for those that are doing that, and I call out the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce for starting to, I think they need to reevaluate them hanging their flag on 04 and hang their flag on neighborhoods that are having problems, which are all over in some of these zip codes. Media outlets don't want to make this a cause celeb because, all right, oh, we're going to raise money for 32304. It's not what it seems. And to start doing that is a disservice, and it makes you less credible. Again, I will continue to cite those household numbers on those that have married households. It's ridiculous. When you've got zip codes that have 7-8 times the married households, you need to look at why is that happening. Why is it happening? It's because there's 35,000 college students in the area. And that affects every other number that you're looking at. and to make those conclusions and those causations and to have that driving public policy and where people donate money is absolutely wrong. I'm a little passionate about that. So we'll talk about that more next year. All right, look, thanks for tuning in today, but more importantly, thanks for supporting the show over the last year. We will continue to bring you things you don't hear anywhere else next year. So be sure and put us on your schedule starting next year. We'll be at the same time at noon on Tuesday and Thursday. So have a great holiday. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next year. That had me blind. It's gonna be a bright